A month ago, we were in a situation where, you know, USAID had announced that there were roughly 900,000 people in famine conditions. And that's nuancing language, which you, what that really means is you've got almost a million people who are in famine. And that data, that's based on data that's a month to 2 months old. And what we've seen subsequent to that is with a sort of rather extraordinary turn of events on the battlefield in Tigray, where the government of Ethiopia and its allies were sort of forced out of large sections of Tigray by the Tigrayan defense forces, that the area has become largely under an informal blockade. And what I mean by that is, you know, WFP estimates they need about 600 trucks heading in there on a weekly basis. And what we're seeing is about 50. There's a communications under blackout, the banking system non-functioning, fuel in incredible short supply, right? And you need that fuel for producing, you know, getting water to flow, for getting hospitals to function, basic electricity. So all the sort of essentials of life have been cut off going into Tigray. And so now, if we were in famine conditions for a million a month ago, imagine what the situation is like now when the aid, international aid community working together with Ethiopian counterparts have not been able to turn on the kind of response that this data indicates we need.
You estimate that the area needs about 600 trucks of food aid. They're only getting 50, which is way short of what is needed. International aid agencies have complained about the lack of access to these areas where people are in need. With the recent ceasefire, how much humanitarian assistance is able to reach the refugees?
That your question around access is perhaps the most important question, right? What's happening right now is a period of time where we need the parties to the conflict to really honor that ceasefire and open up unfettered and full access for humanitarian actors to launch the kind of aid effort that's necessary. We're seeing that largely shut down, right? And we're seeing very little sort of getting through. And it comes in a number of different forms. It comes in terms of blocking convoys from going. Some convoys have made it in, but just a pittance compared to what's really required, right? You know, if you get less than 50 trucks in 6 weeks and WFP is saying we need 600 per week to avoid the kind of crisis we have from expanding, you get a sense of what's going on.
Now, both parties in this conflict, whether it's the Ethiopian government, or whether it's the TDF, the Tigrayan Defense Forces, both of them blame each other. There's kind of a blame game back and forth on who is actually hampering the access to this humanitarian aid. Does the international aid community have an understanding of what the real problem is in terms of who's blocking the access?
So when you talk to different aid agencies that are involved in this effort on the ground, what you hear, right, is that the vast majority of individual incidents, right, the individual incidents that compound to create an environment where access is not possible, that most of those can be attributed to the government of Ethiopia or some of its allies, whether those like Amharan militia or those operating in the area. You're hearing a lot less about that in terms of areas that are controlled by Tigrayan Defense Force, but it's not clear whether that's a case of just information, it's being very difficult to get out, or whether that's a case of the fact that actually, because aid's not making it that far, we don't really know how the Tigrayan Defense Force would respond to it. We do know, however, that Tigrayan Defense Forces have been engaged in military operations that have made access also extremely difficult, right? That's why there's one question about just opening up checkpoints and allowing aid to go through and making sure that, like, you know, we had a UN delegation, very high level UN delegation go in, and they were detained for 12 hours by the Ethiopian government, okay. Right? They were kept from actually accessing. And so if that's, and they had their communications equipment taken away from them. So if that's happening to very senior level diplomats, imagine what's happening to an Ethiopian aid worker working for an NGO trying to get in. Okay. So, again, most of what we're hearing right now is about the Ethiopian government. However, it is very important to emphasize that the military operations that all parties are conducting are getting in the way of a significant aid effort from happening.
What has been the impact of the recent visit by Samantha Power and the Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator, Martin Griffith?
So I think it may be too early to say yet in terms of what's been achieved. But what I will say is up until this stage, we have had sporadic moments where the Ethiopian government has granted better access, right, to the humanitarians inside of Tigray. And that tends to happen in the wake of tremendous international pressure and focus, right? You'll have the head, David Beasley, the head of the World Food Program, will actually go to Tigray or go to Ethiopia, to Addis, and get on a truck, right, and drive in a convoy into Tigray. And then you begin to see aid open up, at least for a period of time. And so we are incredibly enthusiastic and deeply welcome the fact that both Martin Griffiths, very early on in his tenure, and Samantha Power also very early on in her tenure, have made this trip, because it really, I think, signals to the world the level of concern that we should have in this. And I really think that in the coming weeks, this sort of drumbeat of diplomatic pressure and attention really needs to escalate as we move into the UN General Assembly in September and really sort of see the world community come together, both through action at the Security Council, at the General Assembly, to really bring pressure to bear on this. At the end of the day, the most important thing here is for the parties of the conflict to just, you know, freeze the conflict and to open up humanitarian access.